So good to see you all today, to have you here with us as we continue working our way through the life of David. You may remember that we concluded our study last week in 1 Samuel. We were at chapter 28 and we stopped at verse 2, where Achish decides that it's time for the Philistines to go to war against Israel. And then he goes and he makes David his personal bodyguard for life. And then 1 Samuel chapter 28 at verse 3, it begins this incident about Saul and this medium from Endor. The geography indicates that the author of 1 Samuel has switched the chronology of what is taking place here. It's like if you're watching a movie and you're watching one scene and then all of a sudden it jumps over to another scene and another time. Now, it may be helpful for us to be aware of the author's overall structure of these final five chapters that we look at. From chapter 27, verse 1, through chapter 28, verse 2, which we looked at last week, the author is talking about David's dilemma, and that was his temporary faithlessness. But today, as we look at chapter 28, verse 3 through 25, the author is talking about Saul's dilemma, which was his permanent faithlessness. And then he's going to jump to chapter 29 and 30 and talk about David's deliverance when he is saved by the Philistines. And then finally, 1 Samuel closes with chapter 31, which talks about Saul's death when he is killed by the Philistines. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read through our scripture, and then we will continue to talk about Saul and the medium from Endor. Now, doesn't Endor just sound like something that should be coming from a Star Wars movie? Here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 28, beginning at verse 3. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town in Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and the spiritists from the land. The Philistines assembled, and they came and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all Israel and set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Then Saul said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her." "There is one in Endor," they said. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two men went to the woman. "Consult a spirit for me," he said, "and bring up for me the one I name." But the woman said to him, "Surely you know that Saul has what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to try to bring about my death?" Saul swore to her by the Lord, "As surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this." Then the woman asked, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" "Bring up Samuel," he said. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried at the top of her voice and said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." The king said to her, "Don't be afraid. What do you see?" The woman said, "I see a ghostly figure coming up out of the earth." "What does he look like?" he asked. "An old man wearing a robe is coming up," she said. Then Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" "I am in great distress," Saul said. "The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has departed from me. He no longer answers me either by prophets or by dreams. So I have called on you to tell me what to do." Samuel said, "Why do you consult me now that the Lord has departed from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David, because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites. The Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will deliver both Israel and you into the hands of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also give the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines." Immediately, Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. His strength was gone, for he had eaten nothing all that day and all that night. When the woman came to Saul and saw how he was greatly shaken, she said, "Look, Your servant has obeyed you. I took my life in my hands and did what you told me to do. Now please listen to your servant and let me give you some food so you may eat and have the strength to go on your way. He refused and said, I will not eat. But his men joined the woman in urging him, and he listened to them. He got up from the ground and sat on the couch. The woman had a fattened calf at the house, which she butchered at once. She took some flour, kneaded it, and baked bread without yeast. Then she set it before Saul and his men, and they ate. That same night, they got up and left. Thank you. You may be seated, and may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. In today's message, it is all about Saul and the final hopelessness of a person who thought that he was right with God, but was in fact far away from God, was not right with God. When the people of Israel demanded a king, like all the other nations around them, God eventually had the prophet Samuel anoint Saul as the king over Israel. Now, early on in his reign, Saul seemed to serve God faithfully. He defeated the enemies of Israel. He upheld God's laws, and he had the mediums and the necromancers cut off from the land and sent away. But then Saul's true colors, they began to show through. He stopped obeying God full-heartedly. He simply was going through the motions. He was giving lip service, but he did not fully obey God. He just continued to disobey God and do his own thing. Saul was faced now with this great crisis, and so he panics. And he wanted some comfort from God, but there was no comfort for him. This message, as I've been working through it, it's not an easy one to prepare. It's hard because it should speak to each and every one of us very clearly about our own relationship. And if we are in that right relationship with God and making sure we are before it is too late. So as we work our way through our scripture this morning, it shows us the final hopelessness of a person who continually disobeys God. And the very first thing we see is the desperation of a person who continually disobeys God. Now, there are three reasons for Saul's desperation. First, his desperation began when the Philistines assembled and came and set up camp at Shunem. Now, Shunem is in the northern part of Israel. Apparently, the ground there is flat in that region, which made the Philistines' chariots all that much more of a formidable force. And so Saul, he gathers all Israel, and they set up camp at Gilboa. However, when Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid and terror filled his heart. But second, Saul's desperation, it intensified for another reason. Because Scripture says, now Samuel was dead. Actually, Samuel had died a lot earlier. But Saul had not had much contact with Samuel for a long time, even before Samuel's death. Due to Saul's clear disobedience of the Lord's commands and of Samuel's announcement that the Lord had rejected Saul as king over Israel. But now, however, Saul desperately wanted some kind of spiritual guidance. But Samuel is no longer alive. And third, Saul's desperation, it was because the Lord no longer answered his prayer. And that was more than he could endure. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Now, the silence of God, it's not anything new to Saul. But now in his time of crisis, in his time of desperation, when he really needed the Lord did not answer him, either by the dreams or by the Urims or by the prophet. And this meant that Saul was utterly and completely alone. And he cried out to God up in heaven, but God was silent. And the reason God was silent was because Saul had no personal relationship with God. Saul's desperation was because of imminent danger. inaccessible spiritual counsel, and finally, the lack of relationship with God. The great Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon, in his autobiography, he tells of a man who sent for him when he was on his deathbed. During the man's lifetime, he had ridiculed Spurgeon and had oftentimes denounced him as a hypocrite. But now, in desperation, as he was facing death, he called for Spurgeon. And Spurgeon writes in his autobiography, he says, he had, when in health, wickedly refused Christ. Yet in his death agony, he had superstitiously sent for me. Too late, he sighed, for the ministry of reconciliation, and sought to enter in at the closed door, but he was not able. There was no space left for him then for repentance, for he had wasted the opportunities which God had long granted to him. My warning to each and every one of us is, do not wait until we are in a situation that is so desperate before we reach out to the Lord. Let's have a relationship, an ongoing relationship with him all the time. The second thing we see is the defiance of a person who continually disobeys God. Saul knew that God was opposed to mediums and necromancers. In fact, earlier, Saul had even put the mediums and the necromancers out of the land. He had chased them all away. But Saul, in his desperation, it led to another defiance of God and God's commands. Because Saul then said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her." "There is one at Endor," they said. Now, Endor is on the other side of the Philistine army. And this here shows Saul's desperation and his defiance of God's command. He literally had to go all the way around the Philistine army in order to even get to Endor. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two men went to the woman. "Consult a spirit for me," he said, "and bring up for me the one I name." But the woman, she knew about Saul's earlier command to put the mediums and the necromancers out of the land. And she would have thought that this person who was standing in front of her is somehow trying to trap her. Ironically, however, when you think about it, Saul actually invokes the name of the Lord in order to ensure that she would be safe from punishment. And then the woman asks, "Whom shall I bring up?" "Bring up Samuel," he said. And then to the woman's great surprise, the spirit of Samuel, he actually appeared. She then realized that the person she was talking to and that was asking for Samuel was none other than Saul himself. Now, Saul apparently could not see the spirit that had come up. And so he asked the woman to go and describe what it is that she's looking at, what it is that she saw. And when she describes him as an old man wearing a robe, Saul then knew that it was indeed Samuel. And he bowed down and he prostrated himself with his face to the ground. But exactly how do we go about explaining what is happening here? First, the Bible prohibits any kind of communication with the dead. Necromancy is an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. Second, this really was the spirit of Samuel that appeared. Because when this spirit speaks to Saul, he says exactly what Samuel would have said to Saul when Samuel was alive. Third, the woman did not bring Samuel up from the dead. That is why when the woman actually saw the spirit, saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice. You see, she was a spiritual charlatan. She was a fake. And she was shocked to see him. And fourth, Samuel appeared, not at the command of this medium, not at the command of this woman, but because of God and at the will of God. God allowed Samuel to appear in order to tell Saul what was about to happen to him. And in his defiance against God, Saul is here now seeking guidance from a spiritual person from a spirit of someone who was dead. See, that is not the way that we are supposed to seek guidance. God has given us His Word. God has given us His Holy Spirit. So let us seek guidance from the Lord through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, through the Bible. And the Spirit of God will lead us in the way of all truth. The third thing that we notice is the danger of a person who continually disobeys God. Because then Samuel says to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul says to Samuel, "I am in great distress. The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has departed from me. He no longer answers me either by prophets or by dreams. So I have called on you to tell me what to do." And this is why Saul was seeking guidance from Samuel. And then Samuel spoke some very sobering words to Saul. "Why do you consult me now that the Lord has departed from you and become your enemy? Can any words be more dreadful to hear than 'the Lord has departed from you and become your enemy'? Is there any danger greater than that, than having God turn His back on you and want to have nothing to do with you?" And Saul did not realize that his continual disobedience to the Lord was the reason that the Lord had turned from him and had become his enemy. Samuel then went on to say that the Lord had removed the kingdom from Saul because of his disobedience. Even more than that, the kingdom was going to be given to David. In addition to all of that, the army of Israel was going to fall in battle to the Philistines. And finally, to top it all off, Samuel says, by the next day, Saul and his sons, they would all be dead. Now, this clearly was not what Saul wanted to hear. He was hoping for some good news. He was hoping for some relief for this distress that he is under. Instead, Samuel announces that Saul would lose his kingdom, that Saul's enemy David would be the next king, that the army of Israel would be defeated, and that Saul and his sons would be dead within 24 hours. And as I was preparing for this, I was going to say something along the lines, very few of us get such a warning like this of the dangers because of our continual disobedience. But then I thought about it. And you know what? The Bible, in fact, is full of warnings of the danger that will be faced by those who do not repent from their continual disobedience against God. Example, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Many years ago, in one of the Acquire the Fire events, they talked about the Bema seat of God. And you know, even as Christians, we will still have to give account to God of the things that we did while we're here. In Hebrews 9:27, it says, "Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment." In 2 Peter 2:9, it says, "If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment." The question, something for you to ponder, to think about for a couple moments. Are you in danger of being condemned by God on the day of judgment? Are you simply going through those outward motions of thinking that you're right with God? You know the right things to say, you know the right things to do, but you don't really have a relationship with Him. You're just going through the motions. You're able to fake it. Well, men look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Finally, we see the desperation of a person who continually disobeys God. Because after Saul had heard Samuel's words, he immediately fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words, and his strength was gone, for he had eaten nothing all that day and all that night. Saul is utterly terrified by what he has just heard. It shocks him to the core. And the medium is going and trying to persuade Saul to eat something. But Saul refuses. And then Saul's two servants, they kind of step in along with this medium, this woman, and together they're able to urge him to get something to eat. And so he agrees to do that. And then the woman quickly killed a fatted calf that she had around the house. She made some bread for Saul, some unleavened bread, had no yeast in it. And he and his men ate. And that same night they got up and left. The Gospel Transformation Bible, it notes how far Saul has fallen. His royal career, it began with a special meal that was prepared by Samuel, after which he went forth to become king. And now he eats his last meal prepared by a witch, and he goes forth to certain death. You see, as we look at this incident that takes place between Saul and this medium from Endor, I would urge you today, right now, to examine your life, to see whether you are in the faith, to see if you have that living relationship with Jesus Christ. Because Saul, he continually disobeyed God. He had gone through all the outward motions, wanting to look as if he was right with God, when in fact he was not. He looked like he had this relationship with God, but he didn't. His heart was far from God. The Lord had turned from Saul and become his enemy. And as we wrap this up, I kind of have two closing applications for us. One is for every single one of us in here, anyone who's watching online. It's for all of us. It's found in the words of 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Your hope, my hope, our only hope is found in Jesus Christ. Make sure that you have that living faith. Make sure that you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, that you are in Christ and that Christ is in you. Then my second closing application is addressed to those of you who are listening to this. And you don't really know where you stand with God. If you died today, right now, whenever you're hearing this, and you did not know what would happen to you when you died, did not know if you would be cut off from God, you did not know where you were going to spend all of eternity, you maybe would have to spend eternity in hell. Hell is simply separation from God, separation from our Creator, separation from all eternity from our loving Father. If you do not know where you would stand with God right now today, then I would ask you to turn to Him. Believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth and He died on a cross. He paid the penalty for our sin, for a debt that we could not pay. Repent of your sin. Ask Jesus to come and to be your Lord and Master, to lead your life and live and follow after Him. Establish that relationship with Him so that you could be living in Christ and so that Christ could be living in you, because it is in Christ alone that our hope is found.